Sir, we would see Jesus. Now, Spirit of the living God, move within my heart, that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be found acceptable in your sight. For you are my Lord, you are my strength, you are my Redeemer, Lord Christ. And it is in your name we pray. Amen. Isn't it kind of interesting, in a roundabout way, that in life we pick up certain things that continually bug us or are just part of our normal behaviors? My son will confirm to you that I have this one particular thing that generally drives everybody around me nuts that is really close to me, because when I find something that doesn't quite fit into the norm, when I find something that is irregular, when I find something that is not quite the same, an anomaly, I want to know why. I want to know where it came from. I want to know everything I can find out about it. I want all this additional information, whether it really helps me with what I'm doing at that moment or not. My need to know drives me sometimes to utter distraction. Right, son? Yeah. If the rest of the kids are here, my wife is here at the moment, they go, that's him. We got one of those today. And it's never more true than in Bible study that these anomalies really get me. And we've got one today. It says that at this moment, during this Passover week, there in Jerusalem, there were some quote-unquote Greeks that came and they wanted to see Jesus. See Jesus. They go to Philip from Bethsaida, and he then in turn runs off to Peter's brother, Andrew, and the two of them run off to Jesus and says, "Hey, Jesus, guess what? We got some Greeks here." I remember up to this point what Jesus has been saying. He could not give the food of the children to the dogs, that is, non-Jews. And that his whole ministry was focused selectively, for the most part, only to Jews. But now, in what turns out to be his last week on this earth, we now have Gentiles, supposedly, showing up and asking to see Jesus. Well, the commentators, they take this on and they look at it in depth and they tear it apart, which is really good because I need that additional help. I'm not that smart. And that what they finally came up with that I kind of really appreciate is that these probably were some proselytes that were Greek speaking folks. Not necessarily Greeks, but they were Greek speakers. And they were there for the week of Passover. And they had seen and heard the fame of Jesus. Remember, he has just raised Lazarus from the dead before this event takes place. And so all of Jerusalem is buzzing with this guy. They wanted to know more about him. They wanted to see him. They wanted to see him. They wanted to know him. Sir, we would see Jesus. I remember reading a number of years ago about one of the last interviews that Mother Teresa made in the last year of her life. It was this British reporter from BBC. And as he was talking with Mother, he finally got around to saying, "You know, Mother Teresa, religious orders around the world are losing members everywhere. They are dwindling and dwindling, going out of business. These orders are disappearing from the earth, but you have a waiting list. Every one of your institutions is full of members, and there's a waiting list to get in. What is this all about? What is it that you're doing that is so different? What is there so different about you? And our answer was, we give them Jesus. We give them Jesus. And the guy wouldn't have it from BBC. And so he rephrased the question, and he asked it over and over different ways and stuff. And mother just sat there very patient. I've seen this interview. Very patient. She just sits there. And she says, we give them Jesus. And this goes on for quite a while. We give them Jesus. We give them Jesus. We give them Jesus. And finally, that very famous quote of hers that we hopefully hear over and over again. And sometimes we use words. We give them Jesus, and sometimes we use words. That is the story of her order. It's all about the doing. It's all about engaging in the world and letting people see and know Jesus. That's a very important thing, friends. When you stop and think about what is the purpose of the church? What is the purpose of Holy Innocence on top of that? What is the purpose of each and every baptized member of this or any other congregation? Soup suppers? Potlucks? Quilting clubs? I don't know. I'm not going to argue against them. I like to eat. I'm not any sower, though. No. The ultimate purpose for each and every one of us as baptized Christians is to make Jesus Christ known, crucified and coming again, having died for our sins and the sins of the whole world. When this passage of Scripture ends here in John, in verse 32, it says, I will draw all people to myself. I'm going to say more about that in a little bit. I will draw all people to myself. That translates very quickly into we individually and collectively must be about the business of showing people Jesus in a very real way. That they may too achieve the salvation that we have. That they would come to understand God's grace, His love for us literally eradicates all of the sin in our life as we seek forgiveness. He blots it out. It goes away. It's like it was never there. And all the billions of people on this earth desperately need this message for ourselves. Now, I don't know about you, but I personally am most interested in seeing Jesus. Sometimes, it's not like I want to see Jesus for my salvation. Sometimes it's like I want to see Jesus. I want to see the guy in charge. I want the manager. We're going to have one of those talks. We got to get an adjustment on whatever it is, right? But it all gets down to the same fact. The world needs to see Jesus. Now, you want to know how important that is? In the most recent poll of American religious life that was done by George Gallup's organization, okay, 83% of the American population admits to and claims a religious affiliation. Now that sounds really good. That's about where it's always been in this country. But when you dig down deep into what that survey really says, is that you soon discover that what we have in this country is one of the biggest mishmashes of spiritual whatever it is, and religiosity, and everything from the rocks and the trees and whatever is moving, giving you indigestion after a bad lunch or something. Is there God? Because the truth of the matter is, deeper in this poll, we find out that only 37% of people in this country claim a living, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. 37%. Now think about that with me for a minute. You realize that is 63% of our neighbors and friends, the people we may be working with if we're still working, people in our own homes even, do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. They do not have a personal living relationship with Jesus. That's huge. That is basically a little bit less than half of what it was when I was baptized in 1949. That's how far it's diminished in this country. You're talking about a major evangelistic field for us. What was that verse again? What did he say here? I will draw all people to myself. The inhabitants of Moscow and Kyiv, Gaza and Jerusalem. Okay? The rich, the poor, the indifferent, the people living in the street, people living right next door to you. Not one of them is excluded from what God in Christ wants the church to be reaching. Not one. They are all included. So here's the final question. Here's the final question. As we consider the things that we are doing in our own lives, as we think about what we are doing in our collective life as a congregation, is there anything among all the stuff that we do and are participating in that is failing to show Jesus? Communicating the love of God to them. If there is, why are we still doing it? And that goes from our personal lives to our collective life to the even greater, larger life of our general church. Why are we still doing it? When our task, as Mother Teresa said, is to give them Jesus. To God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we ascribe all might, majesty, and dominion, now and forevermore. Amen.